and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, thank God I wrote the whole show today on my hand. Alrighty.
I see what
it's
you did there.
It's me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, I sweated there. I can't read that.
Yeah.
This hopey changey thing going just great for us, Caribou Barbie. Thanks for asking. How's that quitty twitty thing going for you?
Ooh.
Six.
Snap.
Yap! 6 minutes after the hour, I'm all frisky and New Yorky again.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Loy, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. All right. I am, Mama's back in New York.
Yes, you are.
Uh-huh. My boys here missed me, too, you know. So there, Chris. You're not the only mooks.
I don't miss you.
It was actually kind of a trial to have me there last week.
I'm like, I have to do all this crap for you again? Good God.
I got sailors in every port. I got New York boys, too, now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I bailed on you early on Friday, so.
They did?
I did.
Oh, that's true. How did San Francisco go?
San Francisco was great. I love the people at Green 960. Everybody there is so nice.
Green 960 rocks!
Yep.
You went up to a sales meeting to do a little whoring for Mama.
Yes, I said you would read anything.
So Mama can get some of those big-time endorsements and buy a little more box wine.
That's right. I said you would read anything.
Yeah, she said she'll sell anything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know.
I'm like, does it involve selling puppies into white slavery? No? Okay, I'll do it then.
And you'd have to think twice about the puppies into white slavery.
No, I love, you know, I actually, people, you know, it's funny, I get emails like that, like, oh, are you just reading that, or do you really? I really do. We mm-hmm. believe in the things that we endorse, or I wouldn't do it.
Absolutely.
Because, exactly. And here's the thing about progressive radio listeners, they're smart. They know to support Mama and to support progressive radio, you need to click Stephanie in every box you can find, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, dear.
All right. Go Saints. Go Saints.
What's this whole who dat thing? I've never heard this thing before. What is that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's the
I sort of pretend to watch the Super Bowl, but here's the other thing, is I assumed the Saints lost.
No.
Because I lost interest at when they were behind by 10, and I was like, oh, because I really wanted them to win because of everything New Orleans has been through, and, you know.
Yeah, I was.
And so I took the dogs to Central Park, and it's like, remember before we had Blackberries and Internet?
Right.
You'd just be screwed. You wouldn't know what happened.
Exactly.
But everybody else walking their dogs like, Saints ahead! Saints are pulling ahead!
Oh, jeez.
So, right? The big interception from Peyton Manning, and I followed it.
I was drunk by
then.
I didn't see it.
While I was picking up frozen poo.
Oh, God.
You didn't watch it at all?
No, I was at a bar watching it, so it was a little loud. It was, you know, a little raucous.
I was going to ask why you hate America so much, but anyway.
I'm a Colts fan anyway, so.
Really now?
Yeah. Yeah, because when I was 11, we moved to Virginia.
Why do you hate the people that have suffered through Hurricane Katrina so much?
When I was 11 and we moved to Virginia, I became a Baltimore Colts fan for some reason, and they have since moved to Indianapolis, and my, you know, allegiance, however fragile, has stayed with the Colts.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you liked when you were shopping in the Husky Boy section?
Yeah, when I was wearing my tough skins from Sears. Thanks.
Because it's the only size that would fit you. I'm sorry, you brought up when you were 11, and you know how much I love yours and Jim's stories, the Husky Boy stories.
I was a fat kid. Are you kidding me?
And
I wasn't husky.
To tell my story again about Carol Fisher beating me up in front of the Y.
Right.
And I know. I understand. All right. And when Roman Gomez called you fat. Listen,
yeah.
Let's not bring it all up. Let's not bring up all the pain from the past.
Made me cry during silent reading class. Yeah, it was. Oh.
See? And you were supposed to be silent, but you were
sobbing in, you know, my book. Could barely read it.
Sobbing into your tough skin.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, so no, it's great. Oh, how about the Oprah Leno and Letterman hat? Didn't you think you were seeing something wrong? Like it was green screen? I was like, oh, my God, they're really together?
Yeah. I guess they had to sneak Leno into the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York in a disguise, like a mustache and all
and
that.
And the report was they greeted each other warmly, which is all a bunch of, you know,
it's a bunch
you
of
know
hooey.
What I mean. You know, I'm in those circumstances all the time.
Yes.
You remember I ran into someone at MSNBC Hair and Makeup that tried to kill my career.
Yes.
And it was all a bunch of, it was very polite, very nice. You know, you do the, oh, how are you? Oh, good to see you.
But apparently it was Letterman's idea.
Yeah, it was his idea. It ought to be funny, and it was.
Yeah, it was funny. It was shocking.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Chris, as you know, I am a full-fledged disaster magnet.
Yes.
I was in L.A. last week because I Armageddon has hit my house, the poltergeist, the floods. Apparently there's been a locust have infested my house.
Right.
It's been, yeah.
And
the epic rains have, there was just numerous, yeah. I don't even know where to start.
I guess apparently on Friday night there was like 2 inches of rain that fell in the course of a couple of hours.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
Oh, you
and
are.
And so is my bank account, yes.
Oh, no.
It just keeps going up and up. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I was there with a contractor all week. It just is, this week and that thing and the...
Oh, dear.
And then I have to get the child out of my television. You know how it is. There's poltergeist.
You need a short little woman to come in and say, this house is
clean. I do, and she just died last week.
I know
exactly.
She did.
Where's the short woman for poltergeist when I need her? Oh, anyway, so I get back here to Calcutta where I've moved.
Yes.
Because you remember Fred and Max got Giardia, which is, technically, you know what it is?
It's poo.
It's beaver fever.
They don't call it beaver fever, do they?
They do. How perfect that my dogs are now in beaver sack. Yes, there is a Giardia outbreak here in New York City, along with rabies. There's also a rabies outbreak in Central Park because of the rabid raccoons. Because, as you know, I think the critter trouble, again, follows mama. Because I had critter trouble, as you know, in L.A., although it was more benign in L.A.
Yeah, they weren't
rabid. It was more like America's funniest forest animal pranks. Like, they would roll up my sod and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, saran wrap my toilet seats, things like a short sheet my bed, freeze my bra.
Didn't they throw avocados at you?
Yes. No, the squirrels throw avocados at me in L.A. However, here in New York, it's a little more deadly. So they had a Giardia, as you know, they got here in Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told you, they were like, oh, yeah, dogs in the city get that. And I'm like, what city? Calcutta? What do you mean, any city? They've never had it before. So anyway, it leads to, let's just say, Olestra-type diarrhea.
Oh.
And so I had to treat them. And I think I recall it was about $800 for the both dogs. For the fecal test, so my life, as you know, revolves around poo here, either picking it up or taking fecal samples into the vet, and so, and you have to treat both of them, because you see, even though Max tested negative, he'll get it, and it's a whole thing.
Right.
So, I right before I left for L.A., a week or so ago, Chris got a negative, negative fecal.
That you'd think that was good.
Max and Fred, terrific. Yes, guess what I came home to this weekend?
Poo.
Fred with the,
A recurrence of Giardia, or is it
again.
Something else?
I don't know. We'll find out today.
With another $800 visit.
Well, all I know is it's already $200. I had to take the fecal sample yesterday, and it's $200 just for the tests. And then we'll find out today what very expensive medicine. And what they're saying is a lot of times they just keep getting it because there's no vaccine. Is the word.
And there's no sanitation in the entire city of New York,
so they
apparently.
Just got over it, and so now you see, he may have it again already.
Well, don't they get it by eating poo?
No.
No.
They can get it. It's a parasite. They get it from the ground or, I don't know, whatever. Okay. Are you calling my dog an eater? I beg
your
pardon.
Yes, some dogs do.
No, it's me. I'm a disaster magnet. Oh. I'm just saying, pestilence follows me.
Yeah.
For some reason. All right. I have something exciting. I have a star sighting. Guess who was on my flight from L.A. Back to New York?
Who?
Gwen Stefani.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I thought, Chris. I looked over. I said, Gwen Stefani's on my flight. That is bananas. Here's the other thing I found is they always have... handlers. There's always a lot of... She had the baby with her, but then I don't... As you know, I don't... Not many people like me. So
well.
I'm not even sure I could pay that many people to come with me anywhere. As you know, I go alone mostly.
Right.
Everywhere.
Well,
and so
you couldn't afford to pay people now with all the money you spent on your house.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost wanted to ask her, how much do that many people cost to
she
accompany
can afford
you?
It.
Well, clearly she can.
She can.
But I'm just saying I don't even think I could pay that many people to pretend they like me and come with me. I mean, you had to spend that just last week with me,
yeah.
Right? And it was a horror.
Yes. You ran Rebecca off.
I know. I came back and Rebecca's gone already.
I know. And we have Miranda in here.
I know. Everybody say hello to Miranda, who's filling in for Rebecca while she takes care of some family stuff. Miranda, now, as you know, Rebecca hates me with the heat of 1,000 white-hot suns.
Yes.
You haven't spent enough time with me yet, but trust me, you'll get there.
That's the sense I'm getting from everyone around, so, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's probably good you're in New York.
Yes, that's, well, yeah, you dodged a bullet there, you see.
Yes. It's a long-distance relationship.
Yes, I know, and I only got, well, you were training with Rebecca, so you even were exposed to me for a day or two, and like Giardia, it was very unpleasant, wasn't it?
It was okay.
It was just okay.
All right. We appreciate you filling in for Rebecca, though. We really do. And Chris will tell you that you just have to deal with me on Skype, and that's it.
Yep.
Okay.
But she can't even see you on Skype right now.
No, I'm in a whole other room.
Wear the 3D glasses. All right. Thank you, Miranda. Okay, that's Miranda, everybody. She'll be answering your phone calls.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Oh, in fact, and booking guests like the Rude Pundit, who's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Eric Bollert mm-hmm. from Media Matters for America will co-host Right Wing World. And then David Bender, whom I love. I was in the Ring of Fire with him and Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio this weekend, you know.
Were you?
Oh, it was getting hot in there. I had to take off all my clothes.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, he is delightful. He will be live in studio here with me.
Yes.
In hour number three today, so tune in for that. He is a delight, as I said. All right. Oh, by the way, Miranda should wear the 3D glasses when she sees me on the Skype.
Uh-huh.
So guess what? I finally saw Avatar this weekend.
So did I.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, finally.
I did not enjoy it.
You didn't?
Well, first of all, I have to have plastic surgery again on my nose, because what's with those?
They were Buddy Holly glasses.
Glasses.
They were Buddy Holly.
They're heavy.
Yeah.
I had this red, indentation for like a day. I had to keep lifting them up. Why don't they make them light? I've never been to a 3D movie. And plus, it was like 3 hours.
Well, yes, it was 3 hours. I thought it was a very, very pretty movie.
I did. Although, here's how what a... Well, I won't use the word that Rahm Emanuel and Rush used, you know, so as to avoid that controversy. But
right.
Here's how stupid I am, Chris. So I've been watching a 3D movie for almost 3 hours, and for some reason right at the end where those birds fly at you,
yeah.
I spazzed out. I literally went, I literally thought it was in the theater, and I started flailing my hands. I was suddenly like Tippi Hedren in The Birds.
In a phone booth.
I know. I don't know why that was just particularly realistic, the birds at the end.
All right.
But no, I appreciated the effects and everything. It was cool. But you know me, I don't like violence, even with fictional creatures. And I found it very psychically disturbing. It was just I didn't know it was going to be so violent and.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy the glasses. And I you know me. If Julia Roberts or Sandra Bullock aren't in it, it sucks.
Well, apparently
it's
Miranda
not pretty
didn't...
and shiny and funny. There's no point in
apparently
it.
Apparently Miranda didn't like it either.
I hated it.
Did I know? Didn't you?
It was awful. It was visually stunning, like Chris said, beautiful.
Right.
But as
right.
you know, for 3 hours, you think you would care about the characters, and I didn't.
I know.
And I
thought it was kind of a cute love story. I see you.
I guess. It was just creepy. Like he's not a real Na'vi. He's a human animal hybrid.
Rebecca probably
human animal hybrids.
I'm not
they're
very
hooking
bright.
Up. It's creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm sure Rebecca has warned you. I'm not very bright, but I also got through 3 hours and I was somewhat confused.
Yeah, and you're
as
rooting,
to what was real and
you're rooting against great. Americans against. Humans, it was just
yeah.
awkward.
Well, John Fugelsang made that point on the show that, you know, while there's certainly a lot of truth in it, you were kind of like, oh, I'm rooting for American soldiers to die. Oh, you know, like, yes, they're the
really
okay.
yeah.
emotionally conflicted.
All right, we will, you know what, let's, we're going to, this Critics Corner will continue after the break. I think this is a new segment, Chris, where we all hate movies that everybody loved.
Oh, okay. Well,
I tell
you
why.
Hate it. I actually enjoyed it. I just,
Miranda and I.
Yeah,
it.
I know. I know.
20 minutes after the hour, more of a Critics Corner as we're Ebert and Ropert and someone else. Paul and Cal. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more of our Critics Corner on the Stephanie Miller Show. In the meantime, I know.
Oh, well.
Stop giving me that creepy Skypey look. My computer files, you know, they're important to me. except for the part where I have to look at Chris on Skype.
Yeah.
But I have files that I could not have lived without here in New York when I made the move. I had financial records, leases, emails that I needed to refer to with information, Carbonite Online Backup. You know the company. You know I love them. They keep all of my important files safe. And much like Avatar, Chris, I don't really understand how. They're just... It magically backs up my Mac and my I have a Mac and a PC actually. It, whenever you're connected to the internet, it just automatically backs everything up. It is safe. It is secure. It is just $55 for the entire year. You don't want that panic where you lose everything, whether it's you've lost your computer or you have a power outage or whatever. Back it up. $55 a year. Come on, Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Use my offer code Stephanie. It's a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 21 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Critics Corner on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What, like 1,000 now collectively? Like,
they looked kind of old last night.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. But awesome, right?
Yeah, they were good.
Great medley?
Yep.
All right. What did you think, Miranda? You're a youngster.
Oh,
what
she's
think about them old guys? She's screening calls.
Yes. You know, she's actually doing her job.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Jeff in Salem on Avatar. Hello, Jeff.
Here's my review. It was 90 minutes of sparkling entertainment in a three-hour film.
Yeah. Plus, animals get killed. I don't care if they're fictional. I can't watch it. It's
You know, first of all, the goggles don't really do much for me. They don't, you know, they're really ugly. And that's really important when you're going to a movie is how you look.
Well, I know, I tried taking them off. I was like, oh, I can't. And then you look like you're on an acid trip.
But
right?
The way I look at a film is if the film won't work in 2D, you know, you know what I mean? And to me,
right.
I'm thinking this film is, if it were in 2D, it'd be, all right.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Anyway, it was a waste, a good waste of $12.
Yeah. Okay, but explain it to me, because I got through 3 hours with really not exactly understanding.
Well,
which is real and what,
Well, there were a few holes in the plot. For example, my wife pointed out that would you be able to start a fire in an oxygen-free atmosphere?
Ah, see, logic.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
But I would say...
Okay. I don't even understand the whole...
Pandora fire. It's the only kind of fire they have on Pandora. It doesn't need oxygen.
Right, but is Pandora real?
Yeah.
Or what?
No, it's... Yes, it's...
Which person is real? The guy with the tail that's blue, or the other, or the real guy? I don't understand.
Well, they somehow were able to create these artificial avatars that somehow they could infuse with their own brains. And I mean, all science fiction's a bit of a stretch.
Okay, so he goes and lives happily ever after with the blue chick. So what happened to the guy, the Marine? Does he still exist or
he
not?
He died.
No, they sucked. They sucked the, this is the spirit. They sucked the all, any spirit that he had out of the human being to
allow why couldn't
the
they save Sigourney Weaver? What the hell?
Yeah, and why did she have to smoke in a closed environment? Here she is, a scientist. I mean, there were so many things I'm laughing at, and my wife keeps hitting me because I'm laughing at all the stupid plot points.
All right, thank you, Jeff. That's what I don't get. Of course, I left during that part in the crying game, and I didn't understand what the secret was still. So, why did Sigourney Weaver have to die?
You're in a state.
What's with your gods and your tree people if you can't save Sigourney Weaver? Ugh. And then at the end, the alien comes out of her chest and she takes the mask off. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, yeah, sorry about last night.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you didn't call. And that milkaholic...
Stephanie Miller.
...wasn't over.
Milk of what? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Monday mornings, and that means we're feeling particularly rude.
Sleep off at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Time for Mama to come to Papa. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Well, it's a good thing I'm not with my family in Louisiana, or I'd be, you know, in the hospital with alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
It's Mardi Gras every night for Mama, but I understand. You lightweights. Go Saints!
Yeah.
Congratulations, baby.
Well, thank you. I remember back in the wearing a bag on my head days, so, and not for good reasons.
Right.
But the Hoodat, just to clarify, the Hoodat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hoodat comes from a chant early in the Saints, history of who dat say they gonna beat dem Saints, which really sounds lame coming out of my mouth, but it's based on a New Orleans accent.
Gotcha.
I see. It's something originally written by Leon Redbone, I imagine.
Yes.
Or that guy with the spicy Cajun commercial. Okay. Whatever that guy was. Rude. The other incomprehensible event of the weekend was Sarah Palin's speech, which I love you, right? Just live tweeted on Twitter, Sarah Palin's incomprehensible stream of consciousness speech to a group of loud white people. Where do you even start there? The fact that, first of all, she had it written on her hand.
Yeah, which is just adorable, isn't it?
Right after making fun of the president for his teleprompter.
Yeah. There's nothing she can do that can turn her supporters against her. She's one of those. She's got that hot chick syndrome where, like, you know, men want to bang her and women with low self-esteem want to be her. So everything that she does is cool. Shoot wolves from a helicopter. Great. Resign as governor because you want to get out there and do more stuff. Great. We don't care.
But, you know, she really is. She's that girl. She's the stupid chick in class that had to write the stuff on her hand, right?
Yeah, or you know, writing a phone number in a bar, you know. Isn't that really, if you're out of napkins, what the hand is for?
I mean, even Joe Scarborough was saying this morning, like, she just has no substance. She's like rhetorical packing material, like packing peanuts. It's like she has sort of slogans, but she has no actual ideas.
Well, what do I know? I'm just an elitist that uses paper. The biggest thing for me was I just found the speech incomprehensible, not just the question and answer, the actual speech. I just didn't even get. I was watching it going, okay, I'm pretty sure I know English, but yeah. What she's saying is not.
Right. It's that voice, seriously, I have to change the channel now. That voice, how's that hopey changey stuff working out for her? Yeah.
She's become, God. She's become Tina Fey doing her.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Somebody said that this morning on TV. There was a clip, and they're like, oh, Tina Fey just gets better and better.
Yeah, she has become her own parody. And it's, you know, just reading some of her sentences in the transcript later. You know, really, at the end of the day, who cares what an irrelevant mainstream media is going to say about you? Who cares? The political hotshots that they want to take at you for standing up and saying what you believe and proclaiming the patriotic love that you have for country, and a lot of those in the mainstream media, they don't want to hear that. What?
What?
Yeah,
and then you're going,
where's
the media, you dope. You're a Fox News personality now.
But where's the verb? I want to know.
Let's subject Rude Pundit to some more. Why not? Here's some of Caribou Barbie from Saturday night.
The Tea Party movement is not a top-down operation. It's a ground-up call to action that is forcing both parties to change the way that they're doing business, and that's beautiful.
God.
That's a soothing tone of voice, isn't it? That's
I don't know what room she was looking at that she thought it was beautiful. Because that was not a pretty room of people.
How about the guy in the American flag shirt? That's snappy, wasn't it?
Oh, I didn't see him. Where was he?
That's, I don't know. It was one of the clips.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. It was bizarre because you have all these people in here cheering for just absolutely empty-headed rhetoric. I just sat there watching it going, wow, what a retard.
Rude.
We're on the radio. Rude. We're on the radio. She told us it's okay for us to say it.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I love is if Levi Johnson is correct, then she uses the word.
Yeah.
Well, I trust Levi on anything.
Yeah, me too. Listen, here's the other thing. The Tom Tancredo, did you take a gander at that speech? Obama got elected because we don't have a literacy test?
Yeah, well, you know, because the literacy level was really high in the room there. the whole event was just one horrible, racist, awful thing after another. And it was all for profit. That's the whole thing. It's like everything there was for profit.
Yep.
Anyway, it's
all right. Now, let's talk about Richard Shelby. You write perfectly. See, this is what happens when you negotiate with terrorists who want to undermine the election process of the United States and sow seeds of doubt and dissent in the legitimacy of government. Republican Richard Shelby, one of the most despicable in the Senate, is now emboldened by Barack Obama's faith in bipartisanship to simply go nuts with demands. In essence, he's extorting money out of the Obama administration. Yeah, I mean, the problem is they're just immune to hypocrisy, right? I mean, he was the one literally threatening to do whatever it takes to get George Bush's nominees through and yada, yada, yada. We'll get rid of the filibuster. I mean, and now he's holding up really important positions just for pork.
Just for the hell of it, just because he can. It's like Obama offers bipartisanship, and the Republicans, especially in the Senate, just sit back and go, "Oh, you amuse me," and just figure out some craven way to use Senate rules in order to block Obama in any way possible, and they're not getting called on it.
Yeah,
because Obama's
really
not really calling them on it. He's keeps trying, reaching out his hand to the snarling dog again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean, if that's not doesn't just show you, I mean, like I say, it literally, he is on record as saying he will do whatever it takes to get these Bush nominees through, and it, you know, is for overturning the filibuster, whatever it takes. I mean, it is once again sort of breathtaking hypocrisy.
Well, but this is not what goes through the entire movement. Anything that Obama is doing that Bush had done, now they oppose. It's the same thing with the Tea Party. You know, Bush was spending us into this cataclysmic debt, and nobody sat there and went, wow, maybe we shouldn't fight a war of choice that we can't afford. No, it was all just wave the flag, and that's great, because it was the Republican doing it.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Speaking of war, I love your note to John McCain, gay soldiers don't want to rape your... I mean, speaking of breathtaking hypocrisy, on record as saying if military leaders ever came to him and said it's time to overturn, don't ask, don't tell, he'd be for that. Anyhow, you know, I'm for it because Colin Powell has said it, you know, we should overturn it. And it's stunning, isn't it?
Oh, even on Fox News, Fox News' big military guy said on their Saturday or Sunday morning show,
right.
Yeah, let's overturn it.
Colonel David Hunt.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we'll never, he'll be disappeared pretty quickly.
I think he will.
Yeah.
He'll be wished out into the cornfield.
Well, no, but, you know, Frank Rich had a great piece on it that, you know, once again, Grampy McSame is so out of step. I mean, he was saying that, you know, the most stunning thing really about the testimony is mostly the quiet from the right, you know, except for, these a few crazies, unfortunately, like John McCain.
Well, and he's just trying to protect his butt from, I don't know if we can say the other word now. He's just trying to protect it from that right-wing attack that's going on in his state. And now he's got to be the anti-gay marriage guy or gays in the military guy. I mean, this goes back to the...
Yeah, well, that's what Frank Rich pointed out. He's out of step even with his own family, his wife and daughter both went on record as for gay marriage, let alone gays in the military, which, you know, you would think is hardly even controversial anymore, being that 70% of the American people are for it.
No, and he's got to be paranoid as hell because loving gays was something that was used against him in the 2000 South Carolina primary. That was one of the whisper campaigns. Oh, no, he met with the log cabin Republicans. He must love him some gays. And that was – and people were called and push polls were used to say, do you like John McCain? John McCain likes gay people. Do you want to like gay people?
Right.
I love your ending. Here's a secret, John McCain, Tony Perkins, and others. Gay guys don't want to rape you. In fact, you're not even remotely attractive to most gay dudes. That's what why is it always the guys that no self-respecting gay guy would ever want to touch?
With
a 10-foot or a 10-inch pole. Do you know what I'm saying?
And if a gay guy is attracted to John McCain, he should be flattered.
Yes.
Exactly. Except
someone finds him attractive.
And speaking of push poles, your last posting, words to use to explain why you kicked Frank Luntz in the
Don't
yes,
you just wanna?
Yes.
I mean, just
when asked in a poll, do you believe Frank Luntz is an amoral sucking whore?
Oh, jeez.
100% said. All right, that part is
they turned their dial up for that.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was just going to be one long beep.
But you know, it's just they literally at this point, it's a charade. They can't even pretend to be a party that's interested in what's best for the American people. I mean, this Frank Luntz memo, it's just saying lie.
Yeah,
my political advice to you is lie about healthcare, about
and
whatever.
People will believe you. And if you lie with a straight face and lie using these words that push people's buttons, we will be able to stop whatever people want, even if it's for the good of the country.
And by the way, here's a helpful Rude Pundit tip if you want to recognize Frank Luntz on TV. Frank Luntz, he's that helmet-haired who looks like 100 pounds of bull in a 50-pound bag. And I think that's the best description. And we'll know exactly who you mean now.
Thank you. And mm-hmm. if I should ever meet Frank Luntz, I promise, I will not kick him. But... I will tell him how charmingly rigid his hair looks.
Oh.
Well, something's got to be rigid on him.
I see him on TV, and he just looks like he smells.
Doesn't he? Doesn't
yes.
he just look like he's the kind of guy that eats sauerkraut all the time?
Absolutely.
And
like he uses Vitalis. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Rude Pundit. It is rudepundit.blogspot.com. Our little Monday pal. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
Yay. All right, there he goes, the rude one. His rudeness, 46 minutes after the hour. More crunchy Palin audio goodness.
Yo, do we have to?
All right, garage doors flying up across the country, IUDs popping out. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow, what happened to Ron Wood's voice?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour.
It's
like
much
Christmas
lower
just
now.
Came early. Jim Ward's here 10 minutes early. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How's New York?
Well, it's cold, and my dog has diarrhea again.
Oh, boy.
As you know, I'm a disaster magnet.
Isn't that the disease named after one of the American Idol judges?
No, that's Cara Diaguardi.
Oh, that's completely different.
Oh, this Giardia, it really, Jim, technically, beaver fever.
It is.
So it's called.
Yeah,
you've had that, haven't you, for a while?
Oh, yeah. About 45 years.
1-800-STEP-12 the phone number. Tim and Madison on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I look at the speech, and then I look at Fox News Sunday with Sarah Palin, and I don't understand how people can actually take her seriously. Now she's saying that the only way the American people can actually stand behind the president if we get into a third war. Let's jump into Iran now, shall we? You know,
yeah.
That's how America. You know what? Sarah Palin's becoming more charming than a vaginal wart. Yeah, that's
right,
how charming
you.
This woman is.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, she said it would be absurd, Jim, for her not to consider running for president. I mean, who's better qualified?
Right.
That would be crazy for her. Not. She'd be depriving the country. Of
sure, of all of her principles, which she writes in her hands, so she remember what they are.
I believe in smaller government.
Oh, God, I got sweaty there. I can't see that.
And if they're going to...
By the way, in case you hadn't heard this is we're not making this up. Because I know oftentimes it is. Is it a Tina Fey sketch? Seriously?
Yeah, right.
What?
Right.
Yeah. After the speech, organizer Judson Phillips asked her several questions. One of them was about what needs to be done when there's a conservative House and a conservative Senate. Palin jumped right in and said, well, we've got to rein in the spending, obviously. However, she then seemed to forget her next talking point and glanced down at her left hand as if there were notes she had scribbled down. She went on to talk about energy projects. Oliver Willis also caught Palin reading off of her hand. He points out that she had just made fun of President Obama during her speech for his use of a teleprompter.
Yep.
Are you reading off your hand? Come on! You're on camera! You really are dumb as a stump.
Who's not smarter than a third grader?
No.
She was asked on Fox News Sunday if she knows more today about domestic and foreign affairs than she did 2 years ago. Her response, well, I would hope so. I mean, I couldn't have been dumber 2 years ago, and now look at me.
What do you read in my hand? That's all of it.
All of it.
Wow, we, terrible Barbie.
They need to get government out of the way.
Yeah.
Out of the way. If they would do this, our economy, it would roar back to life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A talking point
looks
from
like
1980.
It did under George Bush. Yeah. If you just get that
government. Just deregulate. Don't let industry do what it wants.
Yeah, that's how we got here. Too much regulation. Yeah, take it out of the way. You know, I have to say, I can't remember who it was, but actually a Republican on TV, someone was talking about the analogy people make with her and Reagan, because, they said Reagan was dumb, too. It's like, and they're like, well, there's one key difference. He didn't quit.
Right.
Yeah.
At least when it got hard to govern California, he didn't quit.
At least he had Alzheimer's, so he had an excuse.
Aww. Yeah. Jim, it made me want to really put something in my eye, sharp in my eye. And, you know, I just had an eye injury.
Well,
so.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
Yeah. But how's the hopey changey thing working out for ya? I just heard that clip, and I
hopey changey. Here, thing. I have that. I have Here it is, right here.
Uh-huh.
Now, a year later, I got to ask those supporters of all that, how's that hopey changey stuff working out for ya?
Well, not very well, because he's not offering the change that we really believe
in. He's not hopey changey enough.
Exactly.
Thanks for asking.
Change your stuff working out for you. You know, now that he's got this commie Nazi Muslim health plan thing there, they're working there for you. How's that working for you? I can't read what's on my hand.
Bill's Palin's trademark folksy jokes. The speech short on her own policy ideas, according to many analysts. Oh, did you see that teleprompter joke? That was a good one, wasn't it? This is about the people. It's a lot bigger than any charismatic guy with a teleprompter.
Or something written on her hand.
A charismatic guy with a telephone. Sorry, I've been sweating.
Is it hot in here?
I can't read my hand.
That would be funny if she read just something that just...
I can't see my hand from my house.
And melted.
Yeah.
She said, let us not get bogged down in the small squabbles. Let's get caught up in the big ideas.
Like a new war.
She offered actually none of
No, her new big idea is a new war.
Yeah.
I'll get him behind ya. Just bomb somebody.
The president has misguided thinking and a pre-9/11 mindset.
Oh, my God.
She said foreign policy can't be managed through the politics of personality.
Blah, blah, blah.
It has to be, managed by a, brilliant.
You know what
strategist like her. Apparently.
You know what a pre-11 mindset is? Actually having the Air Force intercept planes when they go off the grid. You know, their transponders stop working.
Oh, how about this zinger, Jim? She assailed the stimulus plan. Did you feel very stimulated? Oh boy.
Oh my
God. She said the administration's deficit spending was immoral and generational theft. That was right after she took $100,000 from the poor people in the Tea Party thing.
Yeah. Where did that deficit come from?
I don't know. She
from?
Keeps saying it's going right back to the cause, but she didn't elaborate on where.
She didn't say what cause.
The cause means her.
You know,
maybe
the cause.
Snow machine business. Wow, we found out two new things about Caribou Barbie this weekend, Jim. A, she has to write the answers on her hand, and B, she didn't even run Alaska. Todd did.
Yeah.
Right.
Who would have thought that?
Todd!
Run this day!
She was apparently there were a lot of emails she wasn't copied on.
Wow.
Decisions that he made. And then one of the ones she was very involved in was how to cover up how much electrical work it actually took to put in her tanning bed. Because
right.
That made look like her look like a shallow sort of bimbo or something crazy like that.
Now it just makes her look like a crook.
Yeah, that makes it makes her look crooky and shallow. Wow.
Maybe Tad should run for president.
Meanwhile, the boner's going, how much electrical work does it take? 58 minutes.
Didn't think about that.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woo-hoo! I'm sorry, the stuff on my hand melted. I didn't know what to say this hour.
Ha.
6 minutes after the phone. Hour, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Speaking of which, Jim, time for a guess the quote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Who said, before Limbaugh, talk radio was about wanting to know what you think. Today, it's telling you what you should think. The liberal audience doesn't work that way. Reaching consensus on the left is like herding cats. Wouldn't it make sense to go to your strength, not try to mimic your opponents? The left needs to pay attention to the success of Comedy Central's 1-2 punch of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. They don't necessarily reach the numbers of Limbaugh, Beck, or Sean Hannity, but they've cornered the market on political satire, and there's no denying their influence. Who said that?
Herbert Hoover.
No, he wouldn't have known who did. Okay. Steve Young, a fabulous writer. This is in the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yes.
This fine article. Now here comes the important part, Jim. About the only progressive radio voice who seems to understand that is Dial Global's Stephanie Miller. A radio veteran and former stand-up comedian, Miller understands political satire and uses it splendidly. Her comic point of view has made her a darling of the cable news circuit. It's also gotten good ratings in major cities such as Los Angeles, Chicago, and Atlanta. Who said that?
J. Edgar Hoover.
Steve Young, it's in the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's in the newspaper. It must be true. Who said, of course, the left also has to use the Internet and other new media, but if it wants to compete in radio, it's more likely to succeed by satirizing rather than hanitizing. Who said that?
Robert Hoover from,
no.
From you know, the no. movie, the
no.
thing.
No.
From the
no.
guy. From the thing?
Mm-hmm. No. It was Steve Young in the Philadelphia Inquirer, which clearly has exquisite taste in journalism. All right. Oh, you know who does not have good taste in journalism? Today's conservatives. According to Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America, Jim, who wrote the headline of his piece is Today's Conservative Journalism, What Would William F. Buckley Say? Well, I think we're pretty clear what William F. Buckley would say.
Really, my milkshake brings all the Dems to the yard, and they're the considered opinion that it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could instruct you, but it would involve a considerable outlay of expenditures, which strikes me as unwise given the current economic situation. Damn right.
Oh, boy.
Good morning, Eric Bowler. We apologize for using your very well-considered piece as a prop to hear William F. Buckley sing Milkshake.
I liked it.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Your piece is not only the, what's his name, James O'Keefe. I mean, not only does today's conservative, quote-unquote, journalism involve felonies. But it's like I often say my dad in Goldwater wouldn't recognize today's Republican Party. I think you're absolutely right. They wouldn't recognize this as journalism anymore.
No, yeah. I mean, Buckley's whole point with National Review is obviously to try to give a national platform. I mean, when you think back to the late 50s, early 60s, there really was no conservative movement in America. So his idea was to give them a national platform, a place to exchange ideas. And it was essentially a serious endeavor. I mean, even, as I point out, during the Clinton years, I mean, National Review left all that Vince Foster nonsense to American Spectator and a lot of other people who ended up falling on their faces. So it was sort of a serious endeavor and to do some journalism. I mean, obviously, most of it was pontificating. It wasn't like they were doing investigative work. But again, I keep going back to the word serious. I mean, it was supposed to advance ideas. Ronald Reagan claimed he got a lot of inspiration from, you know, National Review. And today, I mean, you've got sort of these Keystone Cop situation with James O'Keefe. And I also focused on just the sort of rampant juvenile name-calling, a lot of it by National Review writers and staffers, after Obama's State of the Union address. I mean, they were just rushing online to call him a jerk and thin-skinned and cocky and arrogant. And I'm sure Buckley, you know, he loved a good fight. He was not above the cheap shot. But this, what conservative journalism, and I always put it in quotes because I don't think it actually exists in reality. It's more of a theory. It's just become sort of this really sad state of affairs. It's name calling. It's conspiracy. And as you point out, it's now apparently in pursuit of felonies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Well, let's have some more of it, shall we? Let's dive into the right-wing world. Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear. This is the whole government is bad thing.
No, the real problem with this snowstorm is that it happened on a weekend. If it had happened in the middle of the week, we could have really shut down the federal government for a few days, saved some money, everybody would have been happier.
You know, it's interesting how they apparently government worked perfectly under George Bush.
Well, yeah, you know, my favorite part is the government, if I'm not mistaken, runs the Pentagon and invaded Iraq. And
right.
Conservatives thought the military was, you know, the greatest achievement America has ever produced. And, you know, there's an argument to that. But, geez, suddenly the government is awful and mean and can't do anything.
Oh, and by
right.
the way, the military is always right unless they're engaging in risky radical social experiments like gays in the military.
Yeah, that's right. And even when the commanders sign off on it. But, right, I mean, the military, for the conservatives, is a shining beacon of everything that's good and right in America. And, oh, yeah, it happens to be run by the government. I can never quite understand that sort of glaring double standard there.
All right, let's go to where we all go for the correct assessments, and that is the Factor.
One of the reasons the Factor is by far the most dominant cable news program in America is that we are often correct in our assessments.
Often.
When Attorney
wow.
General Eric Holder announced last November that the Obama administration would try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 mastermind, and four other al-Qaeda thugs in New York City, we immediately said that was a major mistake. And now many have turned against the decision, including big-time Democrats like Senators Feinstein and Schumer.
Yeah, but not for the reasons you think.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Well, he announces it's a mistake, and so then the whole right-wing noise machine, including Fox News, you know, just pounds that message, and then O'Reilly claims that, see, I was right. Everyone else agrees with me. I mean, that's how the noise machine works. I mean, you know, once they get it in gear, then they can then point to the fact that, gee, look at all these people who agree with me. We don't know yet exactly where that trial is.
Well, exactly. And the president said yesterday he has not ruled out the New York trial. I think that, you know, like I've said from day one, Eric, I think, you know, he's certainly taking into concern Bloomberg's concerns because we didn't have a cost figure and a security,
that's
all
right.
that stuff until he got the information. And well, now it's part of the calculus,
and
obviously.
And I don't know if you saw the clip last week. O'Reilly announced the trial would cost $1 trillion.
Oh.
Where did he get that number?
He made it up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, again, what he's talking about is, you know, criminal versus military tribunal. The president yesterday said they prosecuted 190 folks in these Article III courts, got convictions of those folks in maximum security prisons right now, and there have been no escapes. It is a virtue of our system, which we should be proud of.
Yeah, exactly. It's worked fairly well. People have their Miranda rights read to them for years since 9/11. We've done these trials. I mean, there's nothing new here whatsoever, except there's a D in the White House, and that's what makes it different.
That's exactly it. On each and every issue, you know, like John McCain, we were just talking about on gays in the military.
Right,
I mean, it literally is just whatever this president's for, now he's got to be against that. I mean, it's all right. O'Reilly on the Tea Party.
So it is a serious movement, and they're obviously growing very quickly. There's a poll out today that shows most Americans have a favorable view of the Tea Party rather than unfavorable. 35% favorable. 22% unfavorable, and 42% don't know what to think. And you know why the 42% don't know what to think? Because there are a lot of different opinions inside the Tea Party movement. Look, Tom Tancredo is a hard right guy, a bomb thrower, but you have other people who are libertarians within that banner. So it is really hard to get a handle on what the movement is, or am I wrong?
Since when is 35% a majority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not good at math.
And Tom Tancredo wants to overturn the Voting Rights Act. He'd like to start there. You know?
Well, and also the 42%, I think they just have no idea what it is. I mean, this idea on Fox News that people just get up, everyone in the morning just gets up and starts talking about the Tea Party movement and goes to bed and talking about it. I mean, most people don't have a clue what it is. And you know, the people that like it, yeah, and smaller government, yeah, that sounds okay. But look, you know, there's no, you know, ask people what they think of Sarah Palin, and the numbers plunge. There's no face yet of the Tea Party movement per se. So that's why these polls, you know, they say they, you know, the Tea Party movement does better than Republicans or Democrats. I mean, it's essentially useless because there's no platform, there's no agenda. It's all just sort of these vague talking points. And also, I'd point out that Sarah Palin this weekend basically just headlined a birther conference in Nashville, and the press didn't say boo about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Al Gore had showed up at a you know, a liberal convention and a keynote speaker had been a 9/11 truther.
Right.
Do you think the press might have given Al Gore a hard time about that?
Yeah, perhaps.
A little bit. Free ride.
All right. O'Reilly on how, you know, Fox is the only fair and blah.
If the network news and the morning network programs are favorable to President Obama generally, and they are, if CNN and MSNBC are favorable to President Obama generally, and they are, the only network that's skeptical of President Obama, and not, in my opinion, overly so, but brings a harder edge to his administration, is Fox. So it seems like it's 8-1. So what echo chamber? You got a lot of people liking you out there, Mr. President.
Here's O'Reilly math again.
Yeah, exactly. Unless, of course, you listen to any of the critical comments that people like Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow have made about the president and, you know, critical of certain policies.
Right, and just sort of the sweeping generalization that, you know, ABC somehow likes Obama or NBC likes Obama. I mean, it's just listen to the chatter and all the pundits. I mean, certainly.
You know, and let me just say, no one's been tougher on the president on health care than Ed Schultz, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, exactly. You know, and what you know, O'Reilly misses in terms of this echo point, this echo chamber. There is no liberal echo chamber, as you're right. I mean, you know, on lots of issues, you know, our so-called liberal cheerleaders of the president have been critical. That took like 7 years during the Bush administration for anyone on the right to even tiptoe to out and, you know, announce you know, any kind of reservations or criticism. So I mean, you know, the quote-unquote liberal media and the liberal opinion media is just much more intellectually honest and upfront when they have
beef like
with
for instance
House.
Like for instance the fact that I'll admit the only reason I brought up Ed Schultz is because Mama will be on the Ed Show this Thursday on MSNBC. Don't forget to tune in. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Eric, wait there in the side core, Scosh Moore, Right Wing World, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. But first, you know, Mama has started her P90X program.
Have you
really?
Can you
How
see
is
the
it?
Definition through the Skype?
Good Lord, what? Those triceps are huge.
You are such a bad actor.
You're a bad liar. Oh, wow. Sorry. Actor, yes.
But you know what? I have literally heard from dozens of listeners who told me they tried P90X as well and said it was the best workout of their life. They got incredible results. That's the one thing you hear over and over again, that there may be crying and stuff like that, but it works. So if you want something that's going to work, P90X is
There's no crying in P90X.
There is crying sometimes in P90X, but it's a home workout. It includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You are always working your body from a different angle, so you don't get those repetitive injuries.
Right.
You don't plateau. Seriously, how many of you have gym memberships you don't use, exercise equipment that's gathering dust? I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge. I challenge you to take it as well.
I'm expecting my box in the mail today, so I'll be doing it with you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That sounded dirty.
My P90X kit.
Yes, it's a kit. It's a kit for you.
Uh-huh.
P90X comes with a completely risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. Get off your duff. Make the call today for Mama. Do it! 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-FIT. That's easy to remember, 800-509-FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Who is this? Oh, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. Who? Who are you? 23 minutes after the hour.
Guess who?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from
Who's
anywhere.
On first? No, they're on at halftime.
I'm sorry. My generation doesn't understand music. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert, still in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Hello, Eric.
Hey.
Welcome back. Steve Crowder, who you say? He's some Republican blogger. it's the best hand he can do these days.
You know, Al Franken is wrong in that the more they try and push this into the spotlight, it seems the less the American people want it. So as a conservative, I want them to put it in the spotlight. I want Al Franken to be able to push his ideas through and tell people, hey, let's put this in the spotlight. Let's communicate this more effectively. Because it doesn't matter how many bells and whistles they put on this health care bill, Americans don't want it. So if the Al Franken mindset permeates the Democratic Party, I think Scott Brown is going to be the first of many, and they're going to lose big.
Wow. Okay. First of all, I got to ask you, I think this is a pretty neat trick, the president asking Republicans and Democrats to talk about this on TV, don't you?
I do, and honestly, I wish I saw Al Franken front and center. He's invisible, according in terms of the mainstream media.
I mean,
you just never see him. He's an incredibly effective spokesperson for the Democratic Party, but boy, I don't see him anywhere.
Damn that liberal media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think this is a pretty neat trick. It's like after obviously the ass whooping he gave Republicans on camera. I mean, okay, look, let the American people see it then. Let's have this debate. Because, you know, the problem is they know they have no ideas other than stopping his. I mean, literally, Mitch McConnell said, if we're to reach a bipartisan consensus, the White House can start by shelving the bill. How is that bipartisan? If you shelve all your ideas, then we'll have a what?
Yeah, and the press has just given the Republican Party a complete free pass on this. I mean, in any other circumstance, the word obstructionist would have been, you know, written and repeated thousands of times by now. But the press has just given them a completely free ride, even though they've become the party of no. And so they do things, you know, the Richard Shelby, you know, putting everyone on hold. He's basically shut down the Senate. It was basically never mentioned on the Sunday programs this week. I mean, they just don't care. They get away. There's no consequences.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the president has too much pork in his budget, but he has to stop the entire Senate because he doesn't have his pork.
It's not a pretty picture, but, you know.
You almost get winded watching it. You're like, oh, he did not.
And no consequences. Right. Nobody cares.
Right.
I mean, it's just not an important story.
Yeah. Oliver North on Hannity on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Stunning assault on the all-volunteer military, the very best in the world. Barack Obama now intends to treat them like lab rats in a radical social experiment, and it can be very, very detrimental. Now, here's what's next. NAMBLA members, same-sex marriages. Are chaplains in the U.S. military going to be required to perform those kinds of rituals? Do they get government housing?
Oh, he means
NAMBLA?
The gays.
Oh, my God.
To the gays? Wow. Where do you even start there, Eric?
Well, you start by pointing out it's the chief of staff and it's five-star generals who are the ones testifying before Congress.
That's right.
They're saying this is what should happen. This is what the military needs. I mean, you know, if Oliver North thinks the Pentagon is selling out the military, he should go sit, you know, protest outside the Pentagon. But you know, what's different now in this time than during the?
But that's what
years.
I mean. They make it about Obama. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Oh, so you're saying Admiral Mullen is treating the troops like lab rats?
And what's completely changed for folks like North and others who try to argue against it is, you know, the Pentagon has signed off on this. The brass has signed off. They say publicly this is what the military needs. So, you know, North's arguments about how, you know, this is all Obama, you know, it just doesn't fly.
Well, and that's not to mention the part that belongs in the Isn't It Ironic file this morning. The irony
of it.
A convicted felon who lied about diverting proceeds from arms sales to a rebel group in Nicaragua, supporting a policy that forces gay and lesbians to lie about their sexual orientation. That seemed to be lost on both North and Hannity.
Yeah,
exactly. And again, if conservatives are going to attack this, they have to attack the military brass, and they're just not willing to do it, which is sort of muted for most people other than Oliver North. It seemed to mute a lot of the response last week because there's this ginormous obstacle, which is it's not Obama, it's the Pentagon.
I think Russia should put his money where his mouth is and just crash a plane into the Pentagon if he hates it so much. I think that would be the only patriotic thing for him to do.
Not to mention, Eric, here we go again with this. You're saying this would be tantamount to letting pedophiles into the military. Equating gays with pedophiles.
Right, this is John Birch 1960 rhetoric.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whatever. I mean, whenever folks bring up, NAMBLA stuff, it's like the automatic disqualifier. I don't think anyone takes any of that stuff seriously anymore.
Yep, absolutely. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. Thank you so much, Eric.
Hey, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you next time. 29 minutes after the hour. More Caribou Barbie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you betcha. Oh, gal, yeah. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome plus awesome equals Stephanie Miller.
Your show. David Bender joins me live in studio here in New York all next hour. He used to be Rachel Maddow, and now he's mine. Ha! 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
You stole a man away from Rachel Maddow?
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You get out of my way, because I got a man waiting, Rachel. Because she gave me the respect I'm entitled to. All right, Cindy in Michigan on the Teabaggers. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Hi, Cindy.
I called the night that Palin was talking. I made sure I called CNN and MSNBC and put in a comment because I wanted to make sure that they reported the actual number of people that were in that room. What was it, maybe 800? If you looked at it from one angle...
Well, no one else could afford it.
Right. It could appear to look like there were thousands. And if someone wasn't really aware, that's what it would look like to them. But she was actually only speaking to a very few people. And the other thing that they need to do is do a follow-up of how many vendors and caterers are going to get stiffed in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
How much they spent, the fees, things like that. And the other thing was there were Tea Party protesters outside their own event.
Mm-hmm.
These were people who couldn't get in because of the money and the price.
I thought the ironic thing is Mean Girls was on cable this weekend. She still reminds me of that. She's just the mean, dumb girl in high school that had to write the answers on her hand. And, that's the thing. She's just snarky.
Stephanie, what I wanted to really say, though, too, is ever since I first noticed that she was Mean Girls and that's all it was, I would watch her and I would think, what would she be to these men who are attracted to her and they're not really listening to what she says if she was 10 years older and 50 pounds heavier? So
exactly.
In my mind, when I listen to her, she sort of morphs into that.
Yeah.
And I don't think she'd be so compelling.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Cindy.
I bet Fox put in stock footage of the Nuremberg rallies to make the crowds look
good. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine that voice, Jim, with 20 pounds heavier and 10 years older.
I'll be changing thing working out there for you in the living room, Sonny.
Somebody got me a cheeseburger.
A moose burger.
A moose burger.
Yeah, she's all about the bipartisanship, as you know.
Mm-hmm. For instance, on health care, we need bipartisan solutions to help families, not increase taxes.
Jeez.
Remember that red reset button that America, through Secretary Clinton, she gave to Putin? Remember that?
What?
I think we should ask for that back and hand it instead to Congress and say, no, start all over on this health care scheme and pass meaningful market-based reforms that incorporate some simple steps that have broad support. The best ideas, not backroom deals, but things like insurance purchases across state lines and the tort reform that we've talked about.
Tort reform, there
market
you go.
Market-based, meaning just what we have now.
Right.
Yes, something that will allow the insurance companies to run more free.
Right.
Exactly.
And allow fewer people to sue companies that chop the wrong leg off or kill someone with overdoses.
But, I mean, is that stunning, Jim? It's just what I said Mitch McConnell said. How is it bipartisan to scrap the whole bill?
Right.
That means all of your ideas, we don't like any of them.
You unilaterally disarm, lie on the ground while we shoot you in the back of the head. That's the only fair thing to do.
Yeah. Tom in Indiana on Caribou Barbie. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Oh, Stephanie. Yeah, I'd like to touch on Sarah Palin. Well, not literally, but... I mean, the Empress has no clothes here, folks. It's just, she makes Admiral Stockdale look presidential.
Where am I?
All right, you're on here.
If I didn't know better, I would guess that she was a plant, you know, by the Democrats. I mean,
yeah.
It's that a year and a half ago, I went door to door for Barack Obama. I do the same for Sarah Palin in the primary. I mean, please let her be the nominee, please.
But it is sort of terrifying, isn't it? When you think we did have George Bush as president, we're like, are we really dumb enough to elect her president? Is it possible?
Oh, I know. And I just stay tuned. I mean, that's all you can do. Because please no.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just say, Jim, probably you and I disagreed with a lot of Reagan's policies. But even that analogy, I was listening to Peggy Noonan this morning.
There you go again.
You know. She makes some good points. This is like, she's not even close to being a Reagan. I mean, I think they're talking about, he was underestimated too, and blah, blah. It just.
Right. I was watching.
There are like no ideas in her speeches. She has nothing of substance.
It's just. Right. Just shallow slogans.
By the way,
And don't forget the folksy jokes, Jim.
Yeah.
I was watching Peggy Noonan on, I think it was This Week yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't care for her. She's very smug, and she talks down to everyone else that was sitting in that room.
I'm not talking down to
you. Yeah.
What is wrong with her? You see how oversensitive you are that you would think that I'm talking down to you?
Oh,
maybe that's something that you
need to work
help
on.
For.
Yeah.
I just don't care for her.
Jim and I just patronize you to death.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I'm not being patronizing. I'm being condescending. There's a difference.
If you were smart enough, you would know it. Oh, well. All right. Let's go to some more Sarah Palin.
Those things that are common sense expert reform that the White House and leaders on the Democrat side of the aisle in Congress, they don't want to consider. Yeah. So it makes you wonder, what truly is their motivation? Yeah. What is their intention if they won't even consider these common sense, broad-based ideas that would work?
And furthermore, why does my voice sound like a slide whistle? Why does it annoyingly go up and down?
Because I'm really nervous because people will realize that I don't know what I'm talking about.
And things have melted that I wrote on my hand.
Wish I had one of those fancy teleprompters.
And when I'm trying to taunt the Democrat Party.
I don't think she knows what tort reform means. It's just another slogan they stuffed
like
in
Martha
their tiny
Stewart
head.
Made one of those last week, right?
Yeah.
I love those.
That's harsh.
Oh, no, that's her. No, it's her daughter. Oh, come on kids.
We need tart reform. Ask my daughters.
Just when I thought she couldn't get more annoying, you're right. If you had to see, and normally, as you know, on the Stephanie Miller Show, slide whistle makes everything better.
That's right.
I'm talking like a slide whistle. And like they're speeding up the tape and just lowering it over and then speeding it out.
Maybe that's what it is—the chip in her, voice box, robotic voice box. Is there.
Maybe she's a Stepford wife.
Yes.
Clearly, if you're looking at the Todd emails, Todd was running Alaska. He wasn't even running Alaska.
Wow.
She's going to wander around the kitchen. Now, why would you do a thing like that? Now, why would you do a thing like that?
Yeah,
Why would you do a thing like that?
Yeah, newly released emails show that Ted Palin was busy doing more than snow machine driving during Sarah Palin's 2.5 years as governor. First of all, she quits halfway through, Jim, and she didn't even run it in the first place. Oh, nearly 3,000.
Did she do any work at all when she was?
She did make sure that they had the proper electrical work in for her tanning bed.
Oh, tanning bed, that's right. Oh, and she bought that big sports center that they didn't bother buying the land for.
Yes.
And so it cost them
horrendously over budget.
Yeah. Cost them a zillion dollars.
Gee, some people in Alaska might consider that generational theft. So they're going to be paying for that forever, aren't they? Nearly 3,000 pages of emails that Todd Palin exchanged with the state officials were released. They draw a picture of a Palin administration where the governor's husband got involved in judicial appointments, monitored contract negotiations with public employee unions, received background checks on a corporate CEO, added his approval or disapproval to state board appointments, and passed financial information marked confidential from his oil company employer to a state attorney. Oh, interesting.
Turns out Todd's a genius.
The still secret emails between Todd Palin and senior officials reach into countless areas of state government and politics. Potential board appointees, constituent complaints, use of the state jet, oil and gas production. It goes on and on and on.
Wow.
A lot of them she's not even copied on. Should we copy the governor? No, she's in the tanning bed. Don't worry about it.
It's like the self-appointed vice president being the acting president for 8 years. Oh, that could never happen. Oh, wait a minute. It did.
Jim, if you were the conspiratorial sort, this one might pop out at you. One of the things that he managed was, quote-unquote, strategy for responding to questions about pregnancy.
Uh-huh. Whose pregnancy?
That's the question,
and by
isn't it?
Whom?
It's just a normal pregnancy. Why would there be so many questions and a strategy involved? Normally the strategy is just, yes, I'm knocked up. Thank you. We're very happy. Okay. Yes, the governor coached her staff on how to disguise the amount of electrical work needed at the mansion to hook up her new tanning bed.
Wow.
I can
better
feel,
and better.
I can feel John Boner right now poring over that part of the email to find out exactly how much electrical
John Boner.
Work it does take. Put in a tanning pout beds. Oh, say in a House leadership office. Okay. Caribou Barbie again on.
We need a commander in chief, not a professor of law standing at the lectern.
Mr. Smarty Pants up there thinks he knows everything.
Okay,
how do you know it's cold? Back?
Hold your colt. I think we have a winner for most annoying sound.
God.
Can I hear that again?
Oh, no. Do we have
Come on.
To?
We need a commander-in-chief, not a professor of law standing at the lectern.
Wow.
Okay.
Mr. Smarty Pants, this big word.
There was absolutely nothing of substance in that speech. It was all talking points that have been rehashed from things that have been said before.
They're sticking our kids with the bill, and that's immoral. What? That's generational theft.
Who left the largest deficit ever? Who was that?
George Bush.
Oh, wait, there was this big vacuum between the 9/11.
I guess that part of it was moral, Jim. It was moral right up to the point when George Bush handed over the giant deficit, and then it became immoral because the guy now
is... There's a black guy. He's black. Oh, my goodness. He's black.
He's stealing from your children, and he would break in and steal your cereal.
Black guy stealing from you.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, I may have to change my... I play the Hopi Changi again. I may have to change my assessment that this may be the most annoying soundbite from the teabagging convention.
Now, a year later, I got to ask those supporters of all that, how's that Hopi Changi stuff working out for you?
Oh, and Matt Drudge posted that line as a headline on his page.
Oh, it's so clever.
He thought it was hysterical.
Oh, it's so clever. Okay, 46. Wow.
Their point being that there's been too much change? No.
Okay, there hasn't been enough Hopi Changey stuff. You right-wing tools are blocking it all.
Yeah, exactly.
46 minutes after the hour. Oh, speaking of, in case you haven't noticed, he's black. Some Tom Trancredo speech.
Oh boy.
When we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ever since I was a young boy, I've played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton.
Stephanie Miller.
In any amusement hall, that death don't like it. Sure plays a mean pinball.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You okay? What was that noise?
Tell me, who are you? 1-800.
What was that noise you were making?
I was choking on my own spit. Why do you ask?
Oh, okay. Do you need a Heimlich?
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, is this I think I have the wrong thing up. Is this calls 2 or
no,
do we have
no.
other? Okay, fine. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. How's the installation of that phone system going that we've been working on? All right, let's go. Let's go to the back to the crunchy Palin audio goodness. One last one. Come on, here comes the helicopter.
The Republican Party would be really smart to start trying to absorb as much of the Tea Party movement as possible.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, good idea.
Let's hope that'll work out for you as well as in upstate New York. And where was the other one? Oh, Illinois. Good job.
And which faction of the teabaggers?
The really crazy ones. All right. You know the kind of screening we need for security on planes and stuff is the kind they had at the teabagger thing, because they said they didn't let anyone in that looked too crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
I imagine there were about quite five a few people were turned away.
Yeah.
Ah. All right. Tom Tancredo on the teabagger.
Wow. So the race for America is on right now. The president and his left-wing allies in Congress are going to look at every opportunity to destroy the Constitution before we have a chance to save it.
What?
If McCain had been elected, America would have been moving down the same collectivist path, and there would have been no Tea Party, no 9-12ers, no Rally for America on the Washington Mall, and we would not be here.
What?
He also told the audience the country had elected a committed socialist ideologue in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. He also said, Jim, it's because we don't have a civics or literary test before people can vote in this country.
Yeah, we used to have those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for years, just in case you were curious, the fun facts. For years, literacy tests were used across the South to disenfranchise African-American voters, who generally had illiteracy rates of 4 to 5 times as high as whites due to historical discrimination and lack of opportunity. Unfortunately for Tancredo, oh no, the 1965 Voting Rights Act makes literacy tests illegal. But nice try, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've got those right-wing activist judges on the Supreme Court now. Maybe they could overturn that. So real Americans with real American names like Tancredo can keep all the those damn foreigners out.
Yeah, that sounds vaguely Italian.
Yeah, they're so respectful of precedent. They're like, what? Yeah. So what? Since 1965. What did they know? All right, Melanie in Toronto on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Mel.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Chris and Jim, too. Jim, I miss you at from 9 to 10 o'clock. Do something about that.
Yeah, Jim, get up. All right, go ahead.
Stephanie, a really wonderful, attractive, beautiful woman named Laura Chinchilla was just elected president of Costa Rica by a landslide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Beautiful woman.
Oh, good.
The lieutenant governor of Canada is a beautiful black woman who's Haitian. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, as an American living in Canada, I am humiliated and embarrassed by Sarah Palin. And you people need to get her off the stage.
I didn't do it. John McCain did it.
And hearing, I don't see those too much in the States, but in Canada here, almost every elevator has a television. And they'll do the closed captioning of what she said, and people will be laughing.
Yeah,
it's so embarrassing.
It's made us a laughing stock.
This woman has an ounce of time on the air.
Melanie, if you think George Bush was a laughing stock around the world, seriously, can you imagine?
As a girl and as a woman who, you know, have so many wonderful women doing such amazing things in the world, for this moron to continue to be on the stage, like seriously, man, come on. This is just enough already. It's
thank you, Mel.
It really
thank
is
you.
Embarrassing.
Thank you, Mel.
Wow.
I love that. She speaks for the world. Sarah Palin, man, come on. Seriously, America.
Get rid of her.
Kidding us? Listen, I agree, Mel. I don't know what to tell you. No. Holly in Manhattan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Holly.
Good morning. I realized I had this on tape, and I could sync it up a little bit more of Caribou Barbie crunchy goodness. She actually said this.
Okay.
Oh, good old DVR. Thanks to Slime Warner.
Oh, no.
Oh, Slime Porner, wait a minute. All right, I'll read it and I can play it. She said, people around the world seeking freedom from oppressive regimes wonder if Alaska is still the beacon of hope. Did you miss that little bit?
Wow.
She actually said, wait, here.
Alaska?
Alaska, here we go.
The administration cut support for democracy programs. And
wait a minute.
Oh. She also refers to Chris, your job is in no danger anytime soon.
Okay, thanks.
As incompetent as you are, Holly makes you look good.
Wait a minute. She also referred to liberal intolerance. Did you catch
liberal
that?
Liberal intolerance.
Really?
Wow.
It's a bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It's
and
a little like
a moron.
Conservative intelligence.
Yeah, eat a jumbo shrimp and shut up, Caribou Barbie. All right, Holly, thank you. Let's go to Carolyn in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't stay home to watch the Super Bowl and see the commercial that would have been your favorite.
Okay.
Oh, I heard there were beavers and mini kiss.
Yep, mini kiss.
Yep. Oh.
Mini kiss. There was a there was a commercial for cherry
Dr. Pepper. Yes.
And Kiss was on there, and they said, you know, it's just, it has a little kiss of cherry. And then one of the members of the band said, I don't think this is going to work. And they said, yeah, it is. And then they got up and performed with Mini Kiss.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, I mean, come on. Hilarious. Fiddling beavers and Mini Kiss. Well, they stole that from me. Al and Gary, Indiana, on the Teabaggers. Hi, Al.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
You know, I think that there was a good news, bad news component to the Tea Party convention entertainment. And the good news for Sarah Palin was that she was performing essentially a pole dance for conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the bad news was that the rest of the country is not going to pay for a lap dance to the tune of Old Susanna.
Thank you, Al. 58 minutes after the hour, the lovely and talented David Bender joins us live in studio next from the New York Bureau as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. That's what it says on my hand. 6 minutes after the hour, the down. I did it again. That was down 1.5 points. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, Mama will be on The Edge Show on Thursday on MSNBC. And this just in, I just got booked on Joy Behar for tonight.
Hey,
on CNN
cool.
Headline News. Why?
Unless you're bumped again by somebody.
Because I'm a whore. All right.
Well.
Jim, it's time for a Guess the Quote, and the tip is this is it's a Monday.
Uh-huh.
It's a Monday.
Okay.
Who said a funny thing happened after Admiral Mike Mullen called for gay men and lesbians to serve openly in the military? A curious silence befell much of the right, the occasional outliers notwithstanding. Why did such a hush greet Mullen on Capitol Hill? The answer begins with the simple fact that a large majority of voters, between 61 and 75%, depending on the poll, now share this point of view. Most Americans recognize that being gay is not a lifestyle, but an immutable identity, and that outlawing discrimination against gay people who want to serve their country is, as the Admiral said, the right thing to do. Who said that?
Frank Luntz.
Frank Rich from the New York Times. Smoke the bigots out of the closet. His best work ever. I say that every Monday. Okay, Jim. Who said the arguments for preserving Don't Ask had long been blatantly groundless? McCain, who said in 2006 he would favor repealing the law if the military ever did, didn't even bother to offer a logistical explanation for his mortifying flip-flop last week. Blah, blah, blah. Over the past 17, Powell strafed him, Colin Powell. When he announced the changed attitudes and circumstances over the past 17 years that led him to agree with Mullen, McCain is out of step even with his own family's values. Both his wife Cindy and his daughter Megan have posed for the current California ad campaign, explicitly labeling opposition to same-sex marriage as hate. Who said that?
Dr. Frankenfurter.
No. Frank Rich in another humdinger of a column. Smoke the bigots out of the closet. All right, Jim, one last one. Who said President Obama might want to get into it? The debate could blow up in the Republicans' faces. A protracted battle of filibuster in which they oppose civil rights will end up exposing the deep prejudice at the root of their arguments. That's not where a party trying to expand beyond its white Dixie base and woo independence wants to be in 2010. It's in this political context that we can see there may have been some method to Obama's troublesome tardiness on gay issues after all. But as we learned about this White House and the Democratic Congress and the health care debacle, they are perfectly capable of dropping the ball at any moment. Who said that?
Bonnie Frank. Actually, you could
that
have said
that. That was a good
guess
for once, but no, it was Frank Rich.
Uh-huh.
Who went on to say, congressional Republicans will have to explain why their perennial knee-jerk deference to whatever the commanders want extends to General David Petraeus and General Stanley McChrystal on troop surges, but not to Mullen, who outranks them on civil rights. The more bigotry pushed out of the closet for all voters to see, the more likely it is that Americans will move to grant overdue full citizenship to gay Americans. Frank Rich, best call him Evan. All right. Speaking of really smart guys, hey, look who's here, everybody. It's David Bender from Ring of Fire.
Yay! Hey there. So wait a minute. Barney Frank married Frank Rich.
Yes.
Would he be Barney Frank Frank, or would he be Frank Rich Frank?
Wow.
I don't know.
I have a headache.
But wouldn't you want to be there?
Frank Rich Frank.
Okay, yes. I have to tell you something, and this is almost unimaginable.
Yes.
I have learned something from Sarah Palin.
Wow.
Oh, come on now.
I didn't think I'd ever say it. I didn't think it was possible, but here.
He actually came in with stuff on his hand.
I've actually run out of hand. You know when you start doing it, and you can cover the knuckles, you can go. It's really an extraordinary thing. She has taught me everything I know this morning.
She, you know what? She's turned us into a nation of sight gags, David. You know, Andrea Mitchell did that same thing that this
right?
morning on Morning Joe.
I missed it. I swear I'm not stealing
she
from
Andrea. She put her hand up to the camera. She had everything written down.
I'm not cribbing from Andrea Mitchell. But by the way, I was listening. You're talking about the emails that have come out from Caribou Ken.
Yes.
And that is just stunning to me because, of course, you know, there's no one to indict. She resigned, and that was probably actually, if you think about it now,
right.
a very smart move before these emails could be made
right.
public.
Huh. You're like, wait a minute, we elected a guy that runs a snow machine? What?
It turns out it was Ken all the time. I'm sorry, Todd.
She's not even smart enough to pretend to run Alaska. She's
the word counterintuitive comes to mind, but not hers.
Yes. I mean, it really is amazing, though, isn't it, how you, it could be 45 minutes of just nothing. There is not one substantive idea in there.
And here's the problem. And I mean, I hate this because this is what really it comes down to. You know, we were also talking about the call for a literacy test from Tom Tancredo, and there's talk about an oxymoron. But
because then Caribou Barbie couldn't vote.
Well, right. But that's exactly it. If we actually had voters who were informed and wanted to be informed, that would be a wonderful standard. But the less she knows, the more popular she becomes.
Right.
And as you said a moment ago, we're a laughingstock around the world. But it's not just for Sarah Palin. It's for the fact that people do love her. There is, what is it? It seems to top out at around 33-34%.
Right.
And those are the same people that what John Dean calls them, those people, the followers, you know, who need a strong leader, a commander-in-chief, mm-hmm. not a professor of law.
Right.
Or
would you like to hear it again? It was the tone of voice.
Why not? Let's hear it one more time.
Delightful. It's a cut five, Chris. Yeah. Oh, it's why not inflict this on everyone? It's like a root canal.
We need a commander in chief, not a professor of law standing at the lectern.
Now I know why Todd was busy running Alaska. He wanted to get out of the house.
Yeah. You know what that was, though? Remember?
I need a husband who's going to do something, not watch the Super Bowl.
You know what that was? That was the same inflection. Remember at the convention she used around community organizer?
Right.
She did that one over and over again.
Right.
This year's community organizer is professor of law. You know, they just switch them out.
Yeah.
And next year it'll be something else. Maybe it will be black.
Now, what do you think of this controversy? I mean, it really, once again, it just exposes the stunning hypocrisy on their side. She has a problem when Rahm Emanuel was caught using the word retarded. But Rush Limbaugh said it 40 times mm-hmm. on his show. And apparently she just told Fox News, oh, well, that doesn't, he's a jokester. That doesn't matter. That doesn't count.
What I was hoping she'd say is, I don't actually listen to Rush. Did he say that? I never hear the show.
He's, okay. He used Rahm Emanuel's comments as an excuse to utter a variation of the word retard over 40 times. He declared, our political correct society is acting like some giant insult's taking place by calling a bunch of people who are retards.
Right. No apologies. No, don't back down. You know, never complain, never explain. And there, look, if you're looking for shame on Sarah Palin's part about her hypocrisy, you know, it's a long wait. You're not going to find it.
Her statement, Governor Palin believes crude and demeaning name calling at the expense of others is disrespectful, but they wouldn't criticize, not by name.
Unless Rush does it.
Unless Rush does it, yes. If Rush does it, it makes it.
Because like every Republican, she's probably scared to death of him.
Well, and this is what's so sad about this is, again, come back to, if you're looking for consistency, these people will not provide it. They're fresh out. It was surgically removed, probably not under a healthcare plan that reimbursed you for it. It's a pre-existing condition. Shamelessness on the part of these folks.
Yeah, I'm sure this will get to Rush. The Special Olympics, which accepted Rahm Emanuel's apology, they are asking Limbaugh to reconsider his language. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get right on that. Yeah. The head of the Special Olympics wrote and said, I incredulously listened to the segment of your show in which you repeatedly and offensively used the word retard in reference to our meeting with White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. We also asked him to invite Special Olympics athlete Loretta Claiborne onto his show to explain the pain the word causes, which I'm sure that'll happen any day now.
That's a booking I look forward to. These people really don't want to. And this was that poll that Daily Coast took that said how many people actually believe the things that they've promoted. 63% of Republicans believe that Obama's a socialist. A third believe he should be impeached. A third of Republicans believe their state should secede from the union. I say yes.
But that's your first good idea.
there it is. But when you call them on it, when you say, look at the things you have taught the American people to believe, their response is, no, we didn't do that. Karl Rove, how dare they say that? Bill O'Reilly, no, these left-wingers saying that our followers believe this. They have promoted it. When it actually registers, when you see the dial move, they go, no, we never said that.
Yeah. Right. Here's the one thing about the Teabagger Convention, David, is, because they're more American than the rest of us, as you know. You can, if you saw the picture of the guy in the American flag shirt, you know that's true.
Exactly. Isn't that illegal?
Yeah, well, it's against flag etiquette. Absolutely, it is.
There it is.
They skipped the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance at the opening of the.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot that. It was a little disorganized getting started. However, outside the hall, David, you could get a souvenir, a sterling silver teabag necklace for $89.99. Bald eagle T-shirt.
What are the shape of those tea bags again? I'm just curious. So I haven't seen the necklace.
You can get a pearl necklace and tea bags. Jim Louise Ward.
You can have a couple of tea bags permanently just resting right there on your
neck.
You can get a bald eagle T-shirt for $20 or bags of freedom coffee for $9. You know, Chris, if you really want to support America and buy coffee, you should go to stephaniemiller.com and click on usacoffeecompany.com. That actually is American coffee.
Absolutely.
Union made. And some of the money goes to Gentle Giants Rescue, Mama's rescue of choice, and it'll rescue some puppies as well. Teabagger coffee.
And it's damn good coffee.
Mm-mm.
To the last drop.
Oh, thank you, David. He just jumped in there on that plug.
Yay.
It's the official coffee now of David Bender. All right. Lots to get to, including what an asshat Richard Shelby is, as we continue with David Bender and whatever else is on his hand. Here live.
I'm not showing my hand.
Live in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's right, I said.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined live in studio by David Bender, who I stole away from Rachel Maddow. She's so easy to steal a man from. It's like she doesn't even put up a fight. He is the co-host of the Ring of Fire with Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio. And if I'm not mistaken, you're the only show that survived Air America, aren't you?
We like to think of ourselves as, more than just Survivor. It wasn't a contest.
If it was, you won.
But we have always been independently produced. Air America was one of the distributors, and we're on every Saturday, all the places we used to be, and some more now.
You're really, really good, and you know why? Because the guy that owns my show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is now going to be involved.
Yeah,
he'll now be trying to kill me too.
No, there's no question about it, and he's really good at it.
He's going to take me out with, I think, some sort of horrible falconing accident at Bobby Kennedy's.
Bobby, yeah. Can I tell you something? I've been falconing with Bobby.
Uh-huh.
And it is one of the most terrifying things you will ever do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He invited me a couple weeks ago.
You got to go.
You got to go. Really,
it's fantastic.
You got to be really rich to use falcon as a verb, much like like winter or antique.
Stephanie weighs about as much as a rabbit, so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of dangerous.
So when the bird
lands, I don't wear a furry hat.
When the bird lands on you, it will carry you away. Yeah. That would be fun to watch.
Where's Stephanie? She's been carried off by a falcon from the Kennedy estate. anyway.
For charity, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of vulture type birds, did you see, Chris? We got a list of we have a list of Air America equipment to pick over.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no!
They're
so
selling
sad.
It really cheap. They're like, you guys want anything?
I'll take one of those IMACs. Sure.
Terrible.
Yeah, we would have too if there'd been one.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. Yeah, not so much. It's this is so sad.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, we did get a bankruptcy list.
Do they have an Xbox?
We got a list of effects to pick over.
I'd like to buy some of my engineers. They were lovely people.
Yeah. Well, the people. I mean, that's the sad thing. You know.
Yeah. And yeah. These are great folks. And hey, I'm going to do this because here's the truth of it. Air America did some amazing things.
They did. Well, they helped create this format, absolutely. They gave us a great senator. They gave us a great television host.
How about Richard Matta? How about Al Franken? Yeah. And here's the deal. You know, they said it wasn't possible to do progressive radio until Air America came in. And everything is how you started. We had some people at the beginning.
Which was quite a shock to people like me and Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz and Tom Hartman, who had been doing progressive radio for 25 years.
But they were still saying it couldn't work as a format.
Right.
And one of the things Air America did by simply going out there, and, you know, it reminds me of the producers, frankly. It reminds me of we can raise all the money we need. We have more than enough money. And remember at the beginning, the guy who came in and said, I got Rupert Murdoch's money. I've got his checkbook right here to fund Air America.
Yes.
Was, how can I phrase this, lying.
Right.
So that the money at the beginning that Rupert Murdoch lost with 4 years of Fox, he kept plunging in millions and millions of dollars that he never needed to see again. Progressives can't do that or weren't able to do that, so it was very tough. It started off on a rocky footing.
Well, even Air America would be the first to tell you they made some bad business decisions, like, for instance, paying Al Franken's producer $760,000 a year.
Wow.
Trust me, Chris, you can get a producer to work. What do you make?
You make
$50 a week.
Something like that, yeah.
It makes like you can get it for $50 a week. That's all you need to pay.
You know, I'm now resentful, actually. I never got offered that job. Al, you're an old friend. Why didn't I get that job offer? I knew that guy, too. $750,000. How much does the president make? It's about $400,000, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. There's something wrong with that
right
picture.
Right there. That should be a moment. All right.
Speaking of oxymorons, I have to say one thing before I know we're going to have to go to break. You guys were earlier talking about Avatar.
Yes.
And I heard you talking about Avatar, and Miranda didn't like it.
I didn't like it because it made my nose look funny.
Well, but here's, leaving aside the noses and the blue skin and all the rest of it, but here's the thing. If you think you were rooting against U.S. troops, I just want to, one small reference point. Those were not U.S. troops.
Right.
Those were
Blackwater.
Contractors.
Blackwater.
That's right.
You were rooting against Blackwater.
Oh, that's true.
That's
oh,
okay.
Now I feel better. Now
See?
I feel better. See? I just don't like violence, and I don't like when my nose looks icky.
Yeah, well, your nose looks wonderful, so you've recovered.
Oh, I had to have surgery. I had to.
Yeah. Post-Avatar surgery.
Now, speaking of money, you'll be happy to know Michael Steele says after taxes, $1 million is not a lot of money.
Wow.
He talked about the president's long-stated plan to let income tax rates return to higher levels for families making more than $250,000 a year. He said, trust me, after taxes, $1 million is not a lot of money. Here's a little fun fact from Michael Steele. The median household income in America, about $52,000. A lot more than Chris Lavoie makes.
Yes.
That's how they roll, baby.
And only 2% of Americans make $250,000 a year or more. Fewer than 0.5% make more than $1 million. Rush Limbaugh, by the way, echoed that. He makes about, just FYI, $50 million a year. He also recently argued $250,000. He's not wealthy.
Rush was Al Franken's first producer, actually.
That's a fun fact I just was not aware of, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Peter in California on Caribou Barbie. Hey, Pete.
Hello, Steph and the Mooks.
Yes.
Hello.
get off that little speaker. I'm kind of the Luddite today, but I'll get off that speaker. I am from the Great White North. This is California style. It's Del Norte County. It's so white up here, I developed a debilitating case of snow blindness. I'm reduced to writing indoors now, and it's usually subversive left-wing stuff that I thought you'd appreciate. This woman... retard. Oh, excuse me, woman.
Oh, all right. Now you're disqualified. Thank you for calling.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with more with David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Has
Stephanie Miller
gone too far this time?
Stephanie Miller.
It's too hot for TV.
How hot is too hot?
Listen, HD, I don't know. I'll be on Joy Behar tonight on CNN Headline News and on The Ed Show on Thursday.
And both of those shows are available in HD. So.
Bad news for Mama. Mm-hmm. All right. I am joined by the lovely and talented, he was lovely in HD as well. I have HD here in my studio in New York. Yeah. David Bender from Ring of Fire.
I am huge.
It's weird being in HD. You know, all of a sudden, and if you have 3D glasses, HD, 3D, it's too many
it's
D's.
Really, it's
awful. A lot of D.
Yeah, by the way, this is how not very bright I am. I'm, because Avatar's what, like 3 hours?
It is.
And it wasn't until almost at the end when the birds fly out that I freaked out and started, like, I felt like Tippi Hedren. I was like, there you go!
But if Alfred Hitchcock comes out of the screen at you. Actually, Alfred Hitchcock is in Avatar. You know, he works his way in. He's
all the little lighted, spindly things, those things didn't bother me. But then somehow the birds at the end, I thought that was in the theater.
Jim, was that you? Who just did Alfred Hitchcock?
That was me doing Alfred Hitchcock, who's from the same town as David Beckham.
I suddenly felt like Suzanne Fleshette, like my eyeballs were going to get plucked out at the Arclight Theater.
No! If you think I'm large, you should see my avatar.
All right.
We don't get enough of that anymore.
No.
All right. So, noted right-wing asshat, Senator, what's his name?
Richard Shelby. You have to do is say asshat, and one knows,
The Dick Shelby. Has placed a blanket hold, as you know, on all executive nominations on the Senate calendar in an effort to win concessions from the Obama administration and the Pentagon. Shelby holding up personally more than 70 nominees. Some of them include the top intelligence officers at the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, as well as the number three civilian at the Pentagon. The reason his state might lose some lucrative defense contract. Pork! In other words, pork! Shelby calls them, quote-unquote, unaddressed national security concerns.
What was McCain's phrase? Wait a minute. Country first. Okay. And in this case, it's Alabama first.
Yeah,
state over country.
Carl Levin said it, David. He said, we've got a huge backlog of folks who are unanimously viewed as well-qualified. Nobody has a specific objection to them. These aren't these controversial. They made such a stink out of the George Bush nominees. The vast majority of his were approved. It was a few controversial ones that people have legitimate concerns about that were, but this is like, anyway, end up having a hold on them because of some completely unrelated piece of business. This is an example of the kind of stuff that the Americans just don't understand.
And they don't know what's going on. They don't know what a hold is, which is where any individual senator or any one of 100 can place a hold.
Right.
Simply, they don't have to give a reason. Sometimes they don't even have to say who they are. They can do a private hold.
It's the way they're using the filibuster. It is unprecedented, and people don't realize it's not a feeling they're being obstructionist.
Yeah. It more filibusters, President said it the other day, more filibusters in this last year than were used entirely in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Entirely. In 2 decades. 1 year, 2 decades. That's math, okay? It's not complicated. It's not even George Bush math.
Math has a liberal bias.
You can figure this out. Of course it does. I'm sorry. I'll never use it again.
Speaking of George Bush, let's get to the...
Right-wing
part of this whole thing. Shelby, oddly, David, had a very different attitude when Republicans sat in the White House. In early 2005, Shelby complained far too many of the president's nominees have never been afforded an up or down vote. Remember that whole up or down thing?
Up or down.
Because several Democrats chose to block the process for political gain. Inaction on these nominees is a disservice to the American people, he said.
Except when I do it.
He specifically promised his constituents he would do whatever it takes to confirm Bush's judicial nominees, including killing the filibuster.
Huh. You know what would be fun is if in the Senate they allowed going to the videotape. You know, like ESPN.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let's go to the videotape, Senator Shelby. What did you say in 2005? Oh, we have it right here. I mean, you know, Tim Russert used to do that, the gotcha thing.
Right? Oh, I wish it was like SportsCenter.
But how about that? Why not do it? Joe Biden presiding over the Senate says, no, Senator, I'm very sorry.
Let's go to the
tape. Where's my tape sound effect, Chris? That's exactly what we need. We need a playback machine. John McCain.
No, that ball was over the line.
He said, I do not think any of us want to operate in an environment where federal judicial nominees must receive 60 votes in order to be confirmed. To that end, I firmly support changing the Senate rules to require a simple majority be necessary to confirm all judicial nominees, thus ending the continuous filibuster.
By invoking his
blanket hold, Shelby is now forcing Senate Democrats to secure a 60-member cloture vote to break it, or until Shelby lifts the hold, unless, of course, he's still firmly in favor of changing the Senate rules so that only 51 votes.
Maybe Alabama should secede from the union.
Now you're hitting on it. Remember, we said that a third of Republicans believe their state should secede.
Let's start with Alabama.
Yeah, you know, I love Abe Lincoln, my favorite president, actually.
And take your dick with you, by the way.
But he got it wrong, Stephanie. He got it wrong. Saving the union was not a good idea. Let them go. They want to go. Governor Perry, you want to take Texas? Go, please go. And I know that there are people listening in Texas. You can stay. Anyone listening to the show can stay. Everyone else, go.
And we're taking away the highway system and the power.
Yeah, we're taking
the roads back.
We're taking the roads. Yeah, those government projects, those Republican roads.
Yeah, that commie Eisenhower with his... National Highway System.
Each and every day we have some story, don't we, of breathtaking hypocrisy on the part of the right wing. Mark Sanford,
still and current governor of South Carolina for about another hour and a half.
Waged a high-profile war, as you know, against the stimulus last spring, except his own personal stimulus. Okay, let's get to the jokes there. All right, everybody do their own joke.
Do we have any Argentinian music? Nothing to play?
Sure.
South of the border?
Oh. He claimed that accepting the $700 million for which his state was eligible would lead to a thing called slavery.
What?
Sanford flew to Washington to demand $300 million in stimulus money for education. Stanford's trip, which did not appear on his official calendar, is especially hypocritical because the majority of the stimulus money destined for South Carolina was to fund education.
Was he wearing Groucho glasses?
Yet in March, he told Glenn Beck that taking money would be akin to, quote, fiscal child abuse.
Wow.
As opposed to fiscal spousal abuse.
Yeah.
You know what's so interesting about this? The president really got it right in their face in that gathering in Baltimore when he went to them. And he said, you know, and he was so jocular, he was so easy about it. He said, you know, a lot of you folks stand up and have a photo opportunity taking the money that you voted against.
Right. You're happy to go to the photo ops and sign the checks.
The giant checks, the checks that are bigger than your head.
I signed it, Governor Bobby Jindal, because I can't do anything. I don't care how hypocritical I look.
Well, to that point, the president's going to have another moment. I don't know if you saw him with Katie Couric. President, before the Super Bowl yesterday, was on with Katie Couric talking about, you know, what he's going to do with health care next. And so he's going to get this gathering of Republicans and Democrats together
Brilliant,
in a room.
I
hope so. We're going to find out. It may be, you know, this is the longest game of rope-a-dope anyone has ever played. Let them think he's, you know, he is backing up against the wall and he can't fight him. Bring him into a room with the Democratic leadership and put it on camera, which is what I think they're going to do. I think it's February 25th. They're going to have this big gathering.
And Mitch McConnell said, as long as you scrap the whole bill. We want something really bipartisan as long as you leave all your ideas on the floor.
But he said he won't do that, but he did say he'll let them bring in all their ideas, tort reform, everything that they can do to cover all the uninsured Americans' tort reform. And he'll have them there, but he'll do it on camera. And he will look them in the eye and say, now, wait a minute, how does this deal with pre-existing conditions tort reform? And it doesn't, and... If Obama's strategy works, the American people finally see that when they keep saying they've got a plan.
Yeah, because you're right. We're right on the issues. Exist. Good. Yeah. Let them see it.
Let them see it.
How about if we come out of that with single payer? Wouldn't that be something?
It would be. You know what we could come out of it with, though? Seriously, we could come out of it with Medicare for 55.
Oh, wow.
Because that could come back in. Yep. And here's the thing about that. And I think Frank Reacher, someone just wrote about this. That's something that can happen. It doesn't have to wait to 2013. You could affect that in time for these November elections. elections, and right. it was only Joe Lieberman who was in the way. I think we might be able to do something about that if we do it on camera.
Yeah. Well, with the Supreme Court ruling, I think he'll have to stand there in his Aetna thong, at least. So we'll know, you know, exactly who's who bought him.
I have my thong on now, but again, you only see my hand today. No thong.
Yeah, Obama told Katie Kirk he and the leaders of both parties will go through systematically all the best ideas that are out there and move it forward.
Right.
He said, I have no intention of starting from scratch. I mean, that's what's so ridiculous, is the Republicans literally can say bipartisanship in the same sentence as, you got to scrap it.
Yeah,
scrap anything that had anything to do with your ideas.
41, the new 59.
Yeah. And by the way, the president called them on this whole deficit thing. He said the biggest thing, the most important thing we can do on deficits is to get a health care reform package passed.
Yeah.
So for all of y'all that are screaming about the deficit, so I think that absolutely, if we can take Baltimore as
as the model.
As what that's going to look like.
Yep.
You're like, oh, bring it on. I'll make the popcorn.
On. Yeah. How about it?
Yeah. Yes. He said that the statement said what the president will not do is let this moment slip away. He hopes to have Republican support in doing so, but he is going to move forward on health care reform. What I think this does, David, too, it's politically smart. It's like show them for what they are. Then the American people will understand why we might have to do reconciliation.
That's right.
If they're going to come off as the obstructionist asshats that they did in Baltimore, it's like, good, now you see why we have no choice.
But, you know, in doing this with Katie Kirk before the Super Bowl, the idea was to get an audience that normally doesn't watch this stuff. This isn't the Meet the Press audience.
Right.
This is, 40, 50, right. 60 million people watching the pregame on CBS. So here's an idea. Maybe do it before the Academy Awards and have Barbara Walters interview the president and the Republicans.
Yeah.
Get them all in a room. You know, the 10 most interesting Republicans. Wait a minute. That's a very short list. But still, there needs to be a way, and that's what was brilliant about the White House asking for time before the Super Bowl. Let's put this in front of the American people in a way that they can see it, not filter it out because it's part of the news.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You have to have her asking Mitch McConnell, if twat we fall will a twee, what kind of twee would it be?
What are you talking about? What does that do with trees? And how do I get my upper lip back?
I have both of my whips and I still can't pronounce all.
I'm proud of what?
45 minutes after the
you
hour.
You come with a teleprompter? I can't understand what you're saying.
I've been more with David Bender live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful day.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, joined by a beautiful man live in studio, David Bender, from Ring of Fire. It did get so hot in there this weekend, I did have to take off all my clothes.
Hot in the Ring of Fire, and you had no thong on, actually.
No, sir, I did not.
I have a request. I came live in studio here today because I wanted to borrow something from you.
Okay. I already gave up my integrity. What else do you need?
The gay ray.
Oh.
Okay, because, see, that would help me a lot. Mm. If I had a ray that would turn any man I knew gay,
yes.
That would really be helpful to me.
Yes.
Okay? It may not work for you. You may not even need it.
Yes,
but can I use it?
Yeah, it would be more useful for a gay man like
it
you
would,
to have one.
It would be really helpful.
Yes.
And I've been looking for one for years, and I gather you have one of the few in existence right here.
Yeah, well, I started early. You know, it takes practice, like Carnegie Hall. I turned my high school boyfriend gay, and it takes...
Okay, if you don't have a gay ray, can I have his number?
And it's distinctly unappealing, like I am to any man gay.
I'm not getting it, though. It doesn't sound like... you're not parting with the device.
I think it's non-transferable, unfortunately.
Apparently so. Oh, well.
Stephanie should try to turn the entire Republican leadership gay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they are.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
I forgot.
Yeah.
Too late. All right.
I love my wife.
The president...
If there are additional ideas from either party, I'm happy to consider them as well. But what I hope, what I strongly urge, is that we work quickly.
Here's their idea, is for you to lose your job. That's really the only idea the Republicans have. But thanks for asking. Appreciate that.
And that'll work quickly.
The Senate Republicans, by the way, for some reason, David, they don't have much of an appetite to do that on air, on camera Q&A like the House Republicans did.
Not again. No, no. They are slow learners, but they figure that out.
Why isn't the president using C-SPAN? Why doesn't he use the C-SPAN? He used the C-SPAN. Oh, crap.
Senator John Cornyn said, "We're always happy to hear from the president, but I don't really feel any compelling need to do it on camera.
Because it tends
to make us look like ass."
That's what Carrie Prejean said, but,
He said, asked about the invitation to Senate Republicans. He said, for what purpose? Was it for a photo op or is it serious? The president can invite Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, or anybody he wants for a serious talk about issues. Yes, he did, and then he gave him a serious ass-whooping on the issues. That was... God.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, did you see John Brennan yesterday? He's pissed. He was our deputy national security advisor. He said yesterday politicians, many of them Republicans, are unfairly criticizing the administration for partisan purposes and second-guessing the case the Christmas Day with a 500-mile screwdriver that reaches from Washington to the scene of the attack and the abortive attack in Detroit. He said, quite frankly, I'm tiring of politicians using national security issues such as terrorism as a political football. They are going out there, they're unknowing of the facts, and they're making charges and allegations that are not anchored in reality.
And reality is apparently overrated. That's the problem.
He has a liberal bias.
Like math.
Yes.
You know, we're Joe Sestak fans here around the Stephanie Miller Ranch. Did you see yesterday Arlen Specter got the backing of the Pennsylvania Democratic State Committee, and then he proceeded to forget the name of a key Democratic office holder because he's new to this Democratic thing.
He is, and it's going to be tough for him. And the problem is both Sestak and Specter are losing to
Pat Toomey.
Pat Toomey, who is the ass beep. It's really frightening when you see how these poll numbers are because, you know, Democrats are carving each other up, which is what we're very good at.
Yep.
And the Republicans are rallying around a crazy man, Pat Toomey. And that could be what happens in Pennsylvania.
He said, I'll be fighting hard for the entire Democratic ticket, Senator Andy. Andy! From Chester County, he said, losing his train of thought, and the whole crowd had to yell out, Dinnerman! Oh, dear God.
Bless his heart.
Apparently, one committee man in the audience dropped his head in his hands and shook it.
It's the single name theory. For the uninitiated, that seemed to work.
All right, so what do you call it? Avatar, who's finally been dethroned at the box office. Dear John unexpectedly ended the 7-week reign. Avatar, though, has earned, what are they? They've passed Titanic.
Yes.
They've made $630 million to make it the biggest movie of all time. It surpassed the $601 million made by Titanic. I hated it, and I didn't get it.
I still hated it.
Now, Chris, you liked it, though, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I saw it this weekend, and I liked it.
Yeah,
so
I loved it, and it was
so beautiful to look at.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The effects were good, but they made my nose hurt, and it was too violent, and animals got killed, even fictional ones. I don't care. But Jim, the other thing is, you know me, I'm a little confused with movie references, and I still, by the end of 3 hours, I wasn't sure which is real and which wasn't. I don't really understand what. So. The place actually did exist, and so the
Jim
marine
hasn't seen
what
it.
Dies at
Jim
the end, and that's how he becomes the blue guy.
Oh, great.
Oops, sorry.
We're talking Avatar.
Yeah, the climactic scene of Avatar. Great. Thanks,
sorry.
Steph.
Sorry. But Sigourney Weaver dies
before he takes the mask off.
All the people had blue skin, so there is a liberal bias, right?
That's right.
It's a blue movie.
Wow. In the biggest gathering of human irritants since the Teabagger Convention this weekend, the Jersey Shore cast is going to appear on The View.
So
you'll get Snooki and Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh, God.
Maybe they'll be on with you and Troy Behar.
Oh, no.
How much fun could that be?
Troy Behar's the only one I like on The View. Oh, her and Whoopi. But, oh, dear God. All right. Oh, Tiger Woods is cured. This is very exciting. It's superficial reporting. He has completed his stay in rehab. And could be back playing competitive golf as early as February 17th. That was almost quicker than, Ted Haggard's beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, he debugged whatever it was that was wrong with him. Weren't there planes flying over the tournament he missed this past weekend? Planes, or actually it was a week ago, planes flying over from strip clubs that had signs attached to the end of the plane saying, "Tiger, we miss you, love showgirls." That's, I mean, come on, talk about a marketing moment, you know? And so Tiger has new endorsements waiting for him.
That's great.
It's America.
Here is just one more story, Chris, that shows that Mama is always right about everything. I think the theme of this show.
Okay.
Former 70s teen idol Leif Garrett has been charged with felony possession of a heroin, which means that I was always right about picking Donnie and David Cassidy over Leif. I was never a Leif Garrett fan.
In his shoe. He had heroin in his shoe.
Yeah, he did.
A shoe user.
There was only one choice. I chose Donnie. It was either Donnie or David Cassidy. Anyone that chose Leif
chose
Garrett.
I chose Bobby Sherman. True story.
That
I was
understand.
The only. This is a true story.
I've been around that block.
I was the only guy at a Bobby Sherman concert in Orange County in 1970.
Oh, my God.
It was me and 20,000 girls.
This That's is all you need to know about true. David Bender. All right. Bobby Sherman, I understand. I went around that block about 15 times. I really didn't know what to do. David Bender from Ring of Fire. Tune in every weekend. What time?
Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, or consult your local listing.
All right. This was lovely. I hope to do it again very
me too.
Soon.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Miranda, filling in for Rebecca on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow with Charlie Pierce tomorrow. Don't forget, that's on the Stephanie Miller Show.